Okay, so we're all back.
Going to do the budgets, aren't you?
People is everybody want, back?
We need to have a travel expense to go to meetings. So budgets will be cut.
Well, I want everybody to come out to Montgomery Bell State Park for our next meeting. We got these new plexiglass dividers. We can sit four people to a table. We got plexiglass dividers so everybody can sit and meet. And we need to see each other face to face.
Yeah.
I agree.
Good.
I agree. And they've just done a wonderful renovation of the park. Right, Ann?
Yep. Y'all get a tour of the park and get a nice room to stay in. And yeah.
Beer.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely work toward that, Simon. But okay, now we have our breakout group presentations. And so is there any comments on that before we begin, Ann or Alicia?
We did not have enough time. I'll just tell you right there. I'm sure none of y'all did either, but we got going into some really good conversation, as most breakout groups do, before we hit about, you know, everything we were supposed to except for the last thing. But we'll definitely have to have another subcommittee meeting after this.
And I think we'll need to talk about that, how we do that between now and the next meeting before we leave our meeting today. Maybe when you do the wrap-up, Ann, be a great opportunity. Since I was on the Equity and Access Committee, our chairman is Carol Coletta, so we have at least about 5 minutes per committee to report back. So we'll start with Ms. Coletta.
Great. So we refined our topic as IDEAA, Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, Access, and Affordability. We view this as being a lens for the entire plan, and felt that because of the lack of diversity on our subcommittee, that we identified a very rich set of possibilities in terms of new members, and we feel a little more comfortable putting together a goal once our committee is diversified. However, in the meantime, the equity impact tool that's available and was shared with the subcommittee feels like something that could be used to enrich and provide a check on the plan as it develops, and certainly at the end to make sure that equity and inclusion is taken into account. Let's see. I think that's a summary of what we discussed.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Let's go to our funding and economic. Not sure who that would be.
Well, I was the facilitator, and Jody Flagger, with a backup of Bonnie Gamble, was our chair and our backup chair. So I'll switch things over to Jody to let her give a summary of what went on in our little breakout room before we were like teleported back to here.
So we were having some deep discussion. We did quickly go through just about everything. As we talked about equity and the funding and economic impact, we talked about how that kind of divides into, we think that it'd be great to come up with a toolbox to really capture what funding and where the funding comes from, the state, the local, increasing partnerships, whether they be public, private partnerships, sponsorships, collaborations, storytelling, ambassadors. How do we connect that, and how do we figure out what works? And I love this, that I think it was Simon or Tony said something about what works. I think it was Simon said, how do we identify what works? Well, we gather up success stories and come up with a toolbox that gives other communities the opportunity to take these toolbox items and then utilize them, individualize them for their communities, and take these toolbox items to make it fit what they're trying to accomplish. on the funding pieces. And then on the economic impact, they all marry one another. So the sustainability, it's no sense in starting something that you can't figure out how you're going to sustain. Sustainability comes when you can tell these success stories, when you are measuring the return on investment, when you are reducing bad health outcomes and you're increasing good health outcomes, when you are sharing these success stories, when you are capturing more tourist dollars and getting your residents to be healthier overall and enjoying, mental health is a huge part of that, so enjoying your park, enjoying that recreation. And I was mentioning to them that when I moved to the county that I live in now, I was amazed at how many people had never been to their local state parks, grew up there, lived there their whole life, never been to their local state parks. But that's what people do when they move there. So why aren't we telling that story? So success stories, building these access points by sharing and getting more people and engaging the community. So economic impact comes with those funding pieces, but it's a collaborative partnership that really needs to work at that local level. So Bonnie, you have anything to add to that?
No, I just didn't know in our group, are we still taking the specifics about, you know, the goal of trying to find dedicated funding for our state parks, because that was in the 2020 plan. Is that something we're supposed to be addressing or looking at?
I think that's something that we can identify a lot of different needs. Doesn't mean that it's actually going to make the plan as far as an over something that we just have to do. But I think it could be identified as a need in the state. It's been a need for a long time, and it still is, even though we're generating more revenue than we have in the past. I still think if we had a dedicated source of funding for state parks, so we didn't have to depend so much on the state general fund, and we could become more self-sustaining, that's a good thing. So that's still something that I think will be in it's going to be in our parks master plan, let me put it that way. So if it's something, I think it probably is something that needs to stay in this one as far as, you know, a long-term goal.
Okay, good. Anything else from the funding group? Okay, our conservation report.
All right, Steve Law was elected our chairperson, so I'm going to let Steve take it away.
We had really good conversation until we got jettisoned away in mid-sentence also, and really determined that the category as it's currently structured, conservation and rural regions or rural economies, whichever you prefer, is really too broad. Because it can take us down too many different paths and rabbit holes. Because once you start involving the rural communities or the rural regions aspect into it, you can easily tangent off into rural tourism aspects and also certainly get into an overlap with the group that's going to be focused on equity and access and proximity of state parks to some of our more rural counties throughout the state. So what we have done as a preliminary step is decided to narrow our focus more in line with the way NRPA is looking at conservation and really focus on the conservation and stewardship of our land and waters and natural resources within park properties and natural areas. So that's where we feel like that we need to focus so that we want to work collaboratively with the other groups, but we don't want to be duplicating what they're doing. We also want to be able to give reconsideration and explore opportunities to recreate the process of designating state recreation areas. And when it comes down to the actual stewardship and management, we want to be looking at collaborative partnerships, not only among and between various state agencies, but also with those NGOs that have a dog in the hunt, if you will, that have the opportunity to provide some kind of support as well. So it's going to take at least another meeting for us to really home in on this in greater detail, but I think we've made a good start.
Very good. Thank you, Steve. And last but not least, advocacy and education.
Yeah, I facilitated the advocacy and education group, and we had a enormous group of two of us plus me. We had a couple of the members are not in the meeting today, but Stacy Levine's gonna talk about our group discussion.
Sure. I don't know how I lost the rock paper scissors to be the chairperson, but I will be the chairperson for today. Happy to do it. when we spoke about refining our theme, advocacy and education, we really kind of started to pick apart the difference between the two. And, you know, advocacy could really mean so much. It's so broad. You know, do we focus on advocating for environmental education? This just covers so many different, you know, areas and regions. Could we advocate for more parks, more land, more funds, more playgrounds? You know, what is it we're advocating for? This is just so broad. And then also, you know, advocacy is so closely linked to funding. So really we discussed the possibility of having advocacy and education be its own group, be two separate groups. So we'd love to kind of get y'all's feedback on that. It's one of the things we kind of talked at length about. With education, we reviewed briefly the TELP. You know, we were interested in why did this document not get implemented across the state? You know, do we need to revisit this document? It's so well put together. You know, do we need to work more on offering it to rural communities, or are there any school districts using this plan? So we kind of talked about the TELP and where we could pick up with where things were kind of left off with that plan. You know, could we hear from some school districts, you know, why this was not, there was a barrier maybe to this being added to the curriculum, or instead we talked about how there's such a time barrier within the school day, within the curriculum. It's really hard to get anything implemented during the school day because of all the points that the teachers have to hit throughout the day. So should we focus on getting this into either a before or after school program instead, or what other kind of partners could we use to implement the TELP program? So the overall goal of the group, we think, is to find the most likely partner for advocacy and education within each community, because it may look different in every community. So maybe this isn't something we pursue through the Department of Education, since there's so many barriers. Maybe this is a partnership with local parks and rec departments, and outdoor groups, community by community. We liked the idea of the reoccurring series with local parks and rec departments that was from the 2020 plan. So we kind of thought that would be a great place to kind of pick up and find some natural partnerships and do something like that. As far as individuals or agencies to add to the group, we named two people from the Department of Education. I don't know if you need me to name names right now, but one is a program coordinator and one is a physical education and physical activity coordinator. We thought they could be natural partners with their focus on health and activity. And then we also named Candy Rollins, the executive director of TRPA, who could help us with these local parks and rec departments and relationships there. But then we kind of went a little further and we said, you know, maybe we need to drill down and find local representatives from local parks and rec departments and, you know, rural areas who maybe not even have a park and rec department, but, you know, some sort of outdoor group, so that we can really reach the rural areas and find ways that they can actually partner with us instead of it being kind of a top-down approach. Let's reach the people who can tell us why or why things wouldn't work in their area. and maybe include people who don't have as much representation. And that's as far as we got. Anything to add there, Michael or Tom?
That's great, Stacy, to be a interim chair. You did a great job. Thank you. We appreciate that.
Not accepting the full chair position yet. There weren't enough representatives in my group.
You did not have a quorum.
Right.
Correct. Great. Okay. Well, we're ahead of time just a bit. So wrap up and closing remarks, Ann.
Yeah, let me follow up first on something that Stacy just said within her report regarding the local Parks and Recreation representation on the track committee. Because this is something I want to make sure, I think I mentioned it last time, we want to make sure that we do have the right representation, and that if we're missing someone or some, you know, an area that should be represented, we want to make sure that we get those people either on the track committee that can be kind of on the steering group here or on one of the subcommittees. Bob Benson is on this track committee representing TRPA. Andy has been on in the past, and we wanted Bob to fill a couple of different areas. Besides being president of TRPA this year, he's also representing Metro Nashville Parks, kind of a big city parks and recreation agency. And so Bonnie Gamble is also a parks and recreation director from kind of a medium-sized community, small to medium-sized. Tony Black is representing Jackson Parks and Recreation. And then Simon Bradbury we have on here. He's the director in an area that's just a little bit different. It's the Teleco Village area. So it's not like a city or county department, but it is like a city or county department. It's just in a different setting. He deals with the same issues and the same, you know, programs and facilities and those kinds of things. But we may be missing that rural. The thing about the rural areas in Tennessee, they don't have parks and recreation directors. They have mayors. And sometimes, you know, tourism directors, economic development directors, and those kinds of things. And I think that's where all of our state agencies have put together, because of the governor's executive order one, these rural task forces and rural committees to go across the state and meet with those rural areas and distressed counties to see how we can help them a little bit more. But you're right, I think maybe we should look to make sure we've got representation from those areas, whether it's a mayor or someone else in that community, in that county or city, that could represent what their needs are and how they can be integral to this process. So if anybody has any suggestions on some people there, that would be great.
I had a thought. What about, I know in Jackson, we've got a pretty real good relationship with Chamber of Commerce. A lot of times they have put us in touch with some projects that were being developed that came through to them. They kind of spearheaded it, particularly a rail to trail program, but maybe we can look at from some cities, some Chamber of Commerce type people.
Yeah. I think that's a good suggestion. Sure. If you guys have any suggestions, please just forward them to me or to George, or to Hannah. Hannah's been our admin support person that's been sending your emails and that kind of thing. You can reply to her. Maybe the easiest thing to do, and we'll make sure that we get it. But in closing, I really want to thank everybody for your participation today. I know these meetings they go really well, but they go really quick and fast. And I know it seems like we never have enough time to do what we need to do. So I think maybe the next couple of meetings we'll see a little bit more time devoted to these, even if we have to take a break and then come back. I think we probably need to expand the time a little bit. But what I'd like for everybody to do is, if everybody could meet with your subcommittee groups one time, at least once, before the October meeting, before our track committee gets back together in for our October meeting, if we could get the subcommittees that met today, if we could get back on a WebEx at least for an hour or something like that to try to finish up what we started today, and try to hone in a little bit on what our goal, overarching goal might be, talk about some additional members that, that could round out the groups, the subcommittees a little bit more. I'm happy to send suggestions to people too that, you know, have offered to assist or be involved, and they may fit into one of your groups. What we'll do, what we'll work on in, from the internal committee is to provide you guys with a template that you can guide your next meeting discussion. So it'll be a place where you can kind of put your goal, kind of list your goals and themes, any action items or initiatives, kind of target items or initiatives that you feel need to fall under this kind of theme or topic area. And then as you have these committee meetings and start meeting and talking, if there are things that kind of fall off your list, you thought initially it needed to be in this committee or it was going to fit in with your group, but it's not going to, it's really kind of outside the parameters once you start going in a different direction, just make a parking lot list, and we'll keep those lists, a list of things that really don't fit into each of the groups, but we still feel like they're really important and need to be included in the plan, and then we'll figure out how we address those items. It may be that we talk about something in our group and we think it needs to go with the economic funding in economic impact group. So keep kind of a separate list as you start talking and make sure that the other groups get the benefit of your discussions by, you know, sharing those lists of things that you feel need attention. And then last thing, and then I'll turn it back over to Alicia and Michael and George if they have anything else to add. I did want to extend an invitation to, I know everybody's got busy lives and you guys are all across, spread out all across the state, but if anybody is near Montgomery Bell State Park tomorrow morning, we are wrapping up our state park managers meeting tomorrow morning, but we have brought in a guy by the name of Mickey Fern. He is a former deputy director with National Park Service. Allison may know of him. He does really good sessions and discussions on diversity and inclusion.
He's great. Love him.
He's been the chair of National Park Service's Diversity Task Force. He's now at NC State University as a professor, but just an exceptional leader and speaker. And Jim Bryson, our deputy commissioner, has also established a diversity task force for state parks. And so he's going to talk a little bit about state park efforts. And then Mickey's going to end our session and have some discussion with our park managers here. So that session begins at 10:30. It's from 10:30 to 11:30. And it's tomorrow morning at Montgomery Bell State Park. So 10:30 to 11:30 Central Time. Just pop in. If you're working from home and you want something to do and you want to be outside, come to Montgomery Bell State Park and you'll get a great session out of it too. I think you would definitely be worth listening to. So I invite all of you to come if you can. We are recording it. So if you can't come, if you're in that eastern part of the state and just can't get here, which is understandable, I will make sure that I share the recording with you guys for that session. But just wanted to let you know about that. All right. Thank you again. I'm going to turn it back over to Alicia and Michael. George, you guys have anything else?
Alicia, Michael, do you have anything?
No, just reiterating what Ann said. Thank you all. We know what a time commitment it is, and I was jumping in and out of the subcommittee groups and lots of great dialogue and lots of great ideas. So I'm excited to see how this works through on the final plan implementation. So thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Committee chairs and committee members, y'all be looking for an email from us, and hopefully y'all can meet and get together before the October meeting, which is, by the way, I had it up and now I've lost it. It is
October 27th. 27th. At 1.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
1, all right. 1 Central, and then November 19th for the following as well.
Got it. Okay.
Be safe.
Thanks, everybody. Y'all take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.